The heart of every organization is its people. We're taking action to take care of them, to develop a world-class team, now and into the future. This is Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie.
Welcome back to another stimulating episode of Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie. We're going to drop a little remix here because Art is out. Our guest co-host with us today is Jen Carney. Welcome back, Jen.
Thank you. Love being back here.
Yeah, it's been a while. I feel like it's maybe been a year since the last time you were in here.
I think so.
In this episode, we're going to explore the cutting edge of leadership and innovation in today's complex world. And today we have a special guest with us named Rob Weaver, who's the recent recipient of the prestigious Supervisor of the Year Award at Naval Information Warfare Systems Command. Yeah, that's a round of applause.
Awesome.
Rob Weaver is renowned for his ability to simplify complexity, so I'm looking forward to that, and fostering a culture of innovation and risk-taking. And he's here to talk to us today about a critical topic, which is mission engineering. Rob, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. We're thrilled to have you. Before we dive into mission engineering and all the things that are with it and surround it, I kind of want to get a little bit of background on you because this is my first time meeting you. I've seen your name, but I've never met you in person. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, how did you end up at NAVWAR and the role you're in?
I was active duty Navy, and the last tour I did in uniform was at the time Spaewar Space Field Activity out in Chantilly, Virginia.
Oh, wow.
I was really fortunate to meet some really great leaders out there and was able to find a way to transition from the military side over to the civilian side. And moved out here to San Diego and immediately started working at Spaewar Systems Center Pacific. Now changed the name over to NIWC PAC. Coming up on my 16th year as a civilian.
Sweet 16. I know. It's flying by.
I know, right? Bounced around between NIWC PAC, PEOs, and now supporting NAVWAR 5-0 as the Mission Engineering Department Head. So I've served a lot of different roles, project management, program management as an APM. It's been a really interesting and just really enjoy supporting the Navy. It's been 25 years now.
Awesome. Well, congrats. That's a long career. I'm sure you still have long ways ahead of you, and we're happy to have you.
Thank you.
You mentioned mission engineering in 5-0. So for our listeners who might be unfamiliar, that's me, raise my hand. I already told you, like, oh, I don't know what this mission engineering is. Let me check it out. Can you explain what mission engineering is and how it's transforming the way that we approach challenges in the Navy?
Yeah, absolutely. Mission engineering, for those of you that have read our NAVWAR digital engineering strategy, mission engineering is a component of digital engineering. I would contend it's probably one of the most influential and maybe the most important components, but ultimately what it is, it's really kind of wargaming or simulation, but you're taking our architectures and the things that make up our Navy and Marine Corps team, and you can extend that even beyond to the entire DoD, but it's taking all of those components that we have and models that have been generated and putting them against a modeled up red threat and putting them through a simulation and kind of seeing how you are able to accomplish the mission and where you are successful, where you are unsuccessful, and being able to generate capability gaps or system shortfalls going through that simulation.
I know, it sounds impressive.
Yeah. We mentioned already that you are the recipient of the Supervisor of the Year Award. As a leader, how do you break down these complex challenges into, I guess, bite-sized, manageable tasks for your team to be successful?
A lot of my ability to break down complex topics really is an ADHD super skill.
Okay.
That some of us ADHD friends and hyperactive friends just kind of innately have this ability to do.
Okay.
Is part of what I think I've been told.
Okay.
At least that's what my wife tells me. And essentially a learned behavior. Pro tip out here for any younger folks that are looking at getting an engineering degree, do not go hyper-specialized right out the gate. So when I got my undergrad degree, it was in naval architecture.
Oh.
And when I was getting out of the Navy and trying to find jobs, there are maybe 5 naval architecture jobs in the entire United States. So I had to reinvent myself. Yeah. and studied engineering. So I have those skills of having the technical knowledge base, but certainly not in a necessarily useful area per se. So I really had to figure out and work on my soft skills. I'm still working on the charm a whole lot. A lot of work needs to happen there. Being able to really decompose complex things so that they're digestible. And I think some degree being a parent is useful in that concept. And so I'm always trying to think, how would I explain this to my kid? How can I break this down to the seventh grade level?
Yeah.
And I figure when you're talking about incredibly complex technical things, if we can get away from using as much of the technical jargon as we can and just really break it down to, let's simplify the language as much as we can and really break it down to basics so that we can get everybody on board. Because let's be honest, language is hard.
Yeah. That's really important, making sure that everybody's on board, because me, I am a non-technical type. And so when you talk to me with big words, I'm like, sounds really cool. I have no idea what you're saying. So, but you're doing a great job here.
Well,
you're breaking it down for that eighth grade level that I'm looking for.
And how do you then use that to tie into, especially working here at NavWar, and we have so many different competencies in different areas. So how do you use that then to reach out to the other competencies and kind of get them involved as well?
But I think there is that component of, we do all speak a different language. And even though we all speak Navy,
right,
some people speak acquisition and some people speak engineering and some people speak logistics. And
right.
It is a diverse
group. We have
group.
HR.
That's right.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? So that's what I'm saying. The different languages, how do we work, especially for you, to say, okay, how do I make it so that we can get buy-in from everybody and that this shows that this applies to everybody?
It's getting everyone at that common baseline of knowledge and understanding and making sure when you're in the room and working with cross-functional teams that you've broken that down and you've got everybody nodding up and down, and then you can start building up and really getting into the complexity down one spoke of that cross-functional team and get into the technical nitty-gritty and then kind of pull back out and maybe head down a different path of the development spoke and checking back in and making sure that we've still got consensus across the team, which I think is really critical. And it's something that I try to bring into my leadership, is making sure that everybody's on the same page with the direction that we're taking something, a project or a task that we're working on, an effort, and making sure that everybody's had an opportunity to weigh in on the direction that we're heading and getting that buy-in from the team so that we can move out together. If you've given people that opportunity to weigh in, express their concerns, and really voice their opinions, it's going to help shape, scope, and mold that effort to make sure it's going to be the most successful it can possibly be.
I can see why you got Supervisor of the Year. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, my next question was going to be, what's the connection between good leadership and effective engineering? But apparently, you've already read ahead and answered that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Great work. You mentioned mission engineering, but you also talked about digital engineering. Is there a difference between the two? And if there is, explain that to this eighth grader here.
As I had mentioned before, they're related. So mission engineering is a component of the broader digital engineering.
Okay.
Another way in which we've kind of defined it in the DE strategy is all of this is model-based engineering. And so today, we are certainly doing digital engineering, or the way in which we have been doing engineering over the last 20 years has certainly been digital.
Okay.
Nobody has paper out. We are
right.
not drafting things anymore. But it's static files, right? And that we're going in and we're changing Visio diagrams. We're working off of Excel spreadsheets, everyone's favorite tool in the whole
Jen
world.
Jen loves Excel.
I was going to say, hello. Let's not get rid of it. I know. I'd like to bust it out every so often.
I have a crush on Excel.
Oh, man.
It is my fave. I'm not going to lie. I'm blushing right now. If you can't see this, but I am. It's my favorite tool. Going back to a little bit of everything being model-based.
Everything is moving towards this model-based engineering. And so it's representatives of the systems that we are designing, maintaining, delivering, operating. A model can be anything. You have a physical model. You could have a drawing of this room or a representation, or floor plans and things like that.
Okay.
Those are models. And then you also have modeling and simulation, weather forecasting models.
And is that kind of leaning into what you were talking about when you were mentioning the wargaming? You build out scenarios and you're testing a product against, like, what if the weather was like this and then this happened? How would we respond?
Absolutely.
I was new to that, working in SATCOM and some of the other ones with, oh, you mean rain's going to change the way my communication comes in? Yes. What do you mean you don't know that? And I'm like, well, why don't you bust out this Excel formula then? Okay, because let me show you my skills. I think that that's important to kind of understand that there's so many different things in play that we take for granted. We just assume this is going to work when I push this button. That doesn't always happen.
It was so hard. You could not do that
right
with your static files in the past. Like getting Visio diagrams and having them printed out on wall-sized charts and actually being able to point at things and be like, and now when this happens on this piece of paper, this happens over here on this, you can't do that.
Just imagine if this looked like this. Yeah.
It took a lot of creativity, and it is also a testament to the amazing capabilities that we have here at NavWar, and the fact that we were able to make things work and we got stuff done even through all of that complexity, and we were able to deliver all of these incredible systems. I'm just excited what digital engineering and model-based engineering can bring is not necessarily better capabilities. We're delivering amazing world-class capabilities today, but I think what it's going to enable is us to be able to deliver those capabilities faster.
Sure.
How important is cultivating a culture of innovation and risk-taking when you're talking about both types of engineering, digital engineering and mission engineering?
It is absolutely critical. It's also my leadership philosophy.
Okay.
I think so much of it is built upon team trust.
And
really just giving people the latitude to create, giving them some loose left and right boundaries or an end state or vision, and then really taking a step back and letting people forge their path and come up with some really crazy, innovative ideas. And parcel to that, it's critical to create an environment where it's safe to fail.
Uh-huh. And so, psychological safety.
Absolutely. Failure is not bad. That's how I have learned most of my important lessons in life.
That's how we got the light bulb.
Yeah, it's typically through failures and really just letting people, giving them that latitude to try something new, go a different way. Let's break stuff. Okay, so there are some bad things that could happen.
I was going to say, it's like having Admiral O'Connell right here when she said, let's go break stuff. Let's do that. And that's exactly what we're trying to do and break the way we've always done things. Because if we did, we'd be doing exactly what you said before, which is I have this piece of paper and on this piece of paper is a drawing. And then what would happen? And we wouldn't know. Or it would take us a lot longer to get to that. So we need to challenge the assumptions and break the rules. And no, I'm not breaking any laws. Just make sure everyone knows that. But break the rules where we can and let's try it. Let's see. So that's awesome.
I love that. Yeah. The failing the fast and failure, you're right. It's really just a lesson learned. Just changing that mindset, right? Because I know a lot of perfectionists and the word failure is like, oh my God, no, we can't do that. But I think you're right. Throughout our history as a nation, we wouldn't be where we are today without those quote unquote failures, which I'm going to replace with lessons learned.
I like that.
That's how we've won wars. If you took some of the rules, we wouldn't have stormed beaches and done some things that people would have said, absolutely not, that you can't do that. And we just did. You know what? Now you can. And my favorite, Mattis, same thing.
Yes.
You're not supposed to be this far inland when you're a Marine. And it was like, no, we are. We are. And we're doing it. And look how well that came out. So that's awesome. Do you think that that has gotten you to get this high performing team? Is that part of the success? Not just your enthusiasm and being, and again, recognizing your supervisor skills and abilities, but going in and saying, yeah, let's fail. Let's give them that psychological safety. What would you add to having that high-performing team for others that are out there that want to replicate what you're doing and what you are doing with mission engineering and digital engineering and all of that? What can you impart some wisdom on our team out there?
It really does come down to the atmosphere that you set. And I have an absolutely amazing team. And I'm so honored to be a part of that team and to be here representing them. I really appreciate the Supervisor of the Year award. Yes, while it is recognition of me, I think it's recognition of that amazing team. And without them, I would have nothing. I wouldn't be anywhere. It's really nice to get that feedback from the team and say, hey, you're doing a good job. Keep it up. They've set a high bar for me now, so right. I need to keep that up. I expect them to hold me accountable to those high standards.
Who has inspired you the most, whether it be either at work, at home, outside in the world? And then how do you then help with your team to get them to have their inspiration or kind of draw from individuals what they like?
One of the first examples of really great leadership that I came across. It's going to be a weird story.
That's okay. But I love it.
So I was a surface warfare officer in the Navy, and it was my first commanding officer on the USS Rents. And he was such an interesting human being. He was so hard on the JOs, junior officers. And so being an ensign at the time, I was one of those people that he was pretty tough on and held us to a pretty high standard. And expected a lot of us. Watching him interact with the rest of the crew, I think, was really what endeared me to him or really made me respect him. He was the number one person on the ship. And when he was walking down the passageways, everyone would stand at attention and make sure that he had a clear path to get wherever he was headed. The way that he treated the entire crew, minus the JOs, but in particular, the youngest enlisted people and the respect that he had for them and the real passion that he showed for the work that they were doing and his level of interest in what was happening in their lives really struck a chord with me and really made me respect him. He was hard on the JOs, but I can also recognize it was for a purpose. It made us stronger and more resilient as a result of that. But then also the way that he then treated the next step up from the JOs,
right?
It was a lot of respect as well there. So really finding that was an important lesson, I think, to learn is how to show respect to other people.
I like that. Finding out how do people get to where they are. And then hearing a little bit of the backstory. We heard a little bit about your job and everything, but this is now more of those, like you said, soft skills of how did I get to the position that I'm in? And being nominated and then being selected is always huge. What you were talking about as well is you got the permission to fail. So that's great that you can now say, hey, I was given that permission to fail. I wasn't in trouble for it. Now I've got a team that we can do this with. So that's awesome.
With your accolades of being Supervisor of the Year, and you kind of shared with us two leaders that you learned under and kind of helped shape you who you are today, with the future leaders in mind, those that are coming after us, what are like top 1-3 things that you want to impart on those future leaders or those who think they have some kind of glimmer, like I might want to be a leader, maybe not, but if they're on the fence, what would you tell them?
I would say go for it. To be honest, it's life is just one gigantic leadership academy.
Yeah.
And that you are constantly interfacing and learning things from everyone you encounter and come in contact with. Many of them are positive interactions. Grab the things and pay attention to those things that make you feel good and really make you feel valued in the organization and really take note of that and take a second to analyze what are the people around me or the boss of this effort, if there is that supervisory element, what are the things that that person is doing that is making this so successful? Mm-hmm. And I think we can learn a lot from some failures.
I agree.
Is that a soft way to put that? We're all human beings. We all fail constantly. Yes. Every day of my life, I am failing at something. Treating human beings with that same grace that you want to be treated with. And if you've got that skill set, yeah, jump in. We need leaders. We need people to step up, especially now. I know the last couple of months have been certainly a challenge with some of the amazing, talented, brilliant folks that have moved on to other work. And it's going to be imperative that we've got people that are willing to close ranks and take that next step. And it's okay to be uncomfortable. with that and to be unsure of yourself of whether or not you're ready for that leadership role. The truth is none of us are really ready for it. And I think just walking into that with humility and saying, I'm going to give this a go and I'm not going to be perfect at it every single day and maybe didn't do well yesterday. How do I learn from that and just do 1% better the next day? So jump in. It looks scary, but the water is actually really nice. And the team, the rewards that I end up getting back from being a supervisor are worth more than anything.
Make it so worth it, right? It's not even about the work anymore. It's about the team. Yeah,
absolutely.
And you forget all the bad or the hard stuff when you get to see that one individual promoted or the one individual on your team gets an award for something. And you're like, yep, that's them. I love it. A little tear in the eye. Like, yep, I got him. That's my guy.
Absolutely.
So, that's awesome. Love it.
Well, Rob, thanks so much for coming in and being here. Thanks for teaching me a little bit more about mission engineering and digital engineering. And I really enjoyed hearing from you about kind of your leadership journey and what inspired you. And I appreciate you sharing some thoughts to those who might be a little apprehensive about jumping into a leadership position. None of us are born leaders. It's just learned.
That's what makes us human. And that's as long as we remember that. So that's awesome.
Rob, I really
appreciate it. And congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And thank you. Thank you for having me.
Empowering Excellence with Art and Frankie is a production of the NAVWAR Headquarters Public Affairs Office in association with NAVWAR Corporate Operations. Our podcast production team includes Ed Disco Buckleton, Kara McDermott, and Ramon Goh, our digital media specialist, who produced today's show. On behalf of Frankie and myself, I am Art Sterrett. Have a great Navy Day.